Welcome to the American Patchwork and Quilting Podcast, sponsored by Moda Fabrics. We have a terrific show filled with tips and tricks for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I am Pat, and one of the things today that's sort of an underlying theme with all my guests is talking a little bit about color, because that's important to a maker, to a quilt maker. I'm super excited to chat with Carrie Foster of Penny Dog Patchwork. She's an artist. She's a self-professed serial crafter, which I think I can relate to that. Anybody who says that has to be a good egg. So hi, Carrie. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
I love the serial crafter. I mean, it sounds like almost like a show that could happen, you know, like you could have something going on all the time. You know, so Carrie, what was one of the very first things you can remember making?
Well, I guess I've kind of been making things since I was maybe about 5 or 6. Mm. So I started off with cross stitch and the usual kind of embroidery things that kids do at school. But one of the main things I really remember getting into was bead woven jewelry. So taking the little seed beads on a needle and kind of weaving mm-hmm. them around. And I actually even sold the odd bracelet to a teacher even. So that was quite successful. And I got the bug from that, really.
That's funny. That's you know, so you were like, yes, I'm an entrepreneur at 8.
Right.
So you grew up in England, but now you're in Canada. So you were doing all of these craftings in England. Can you, you're like thinking back, is there, do you see any difference in like where you are now and when you were there?
Oh yeah. I mean, I've only been here 3 years now, almost to the day actually. But there's a lot more, there are a lot more quilters, or at least there's a lot more people that will say that they're quilters here, and there's a lot more resources and shops that you can buy fabric in. So it's a lot more, I find that I can get into the craft a lot better than I used to be able to over in England.
That's interesting. You know what? Because even like in down here in the U.S., that you're in Canada. So here in the U.S., we have pockets of places that have lots of quilting, and mm-hmm. then places where people don't have anything. So you're in a pretty good area. So you have a lot of shops.
Yeah, there's like I think there's 3, maybe even actually 4 main ones just within a few kilometers of where I live. And I actually teach at one of them as well. And actually, my very first job in Canada was, I think it was about a week after we arrived. I actually worked at one of them. It's called My Sewing Room here in Calgary, and I actually still teach there.
Oh, that is really neat. So everybody, if you're up visiting there, go in and find out when Carrie will be in. She's a busy lady, so she's not in there all the time.
That's right.
So, you know, you started documenting what you were making, what you were doing. Did that start when you started quilting?
So I think I've been blogging since 2008. And at that time, I was still making jewelry because I'd kind of moved on from the bead weaving to look at different materials. So I was making resin jewelry at the time. And I set up my blog, which is Penny Dog, which was named after my very first greyhound. So that's who Penny is. So I get called Penny all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is fine. I like that, too. So I've been doing that since 2008, and then the quilting took over maybe 2013, and it's all been about quilting since.
Yeah. And, you know, your background and what you actually do, you're a graphic artist, but you also have a degree in English. So writing must have been feel good to be writing.
Yeah. I mean, I never really got into keeping a diary as a kid. I know a lot of kids do. Mm-hmm. But I like to have the blog just as a way of me keeping track of what I've been working on. It's nice to kind of go back a couple of years and sort of see how I've improved and things like that.
So because you've been doing a lot of crafts and you actually worked in the industry when you were in the UK, so, you know, and maybe you still are doing some freelance that way, but how did you find quilt making? How did it find you, Carrie?
Okay, so with my degree, because it was publishing and English as well, I found myself working on a magazine called Popular Crafts, which unfortunately doesn't exist anymore, but that was, I think it came out 4 times a year in the UK, and I was working as the editor, and I was the only member of staff. So with it being my very first kind of editorial job, I had some support from the editors of other magazines, and one of the sister magazines was Popular Patchwork magazine. Mm-hmm. And there was a lady called Jane Ray there at the time. And I was looking through the magazines and there was all these amazing quilts. And I thought, I've got to try that. I reckon I could do that. And yeah, that's kind of how I got into it.
Jane is wonderful. She's a neat, neat person. I haven't met her in person, but I've written with her.
I actually haven't either. I haven't met her either.
Yeah, I know. That's the way of the internet, I think, you know, which is amazing. We get to meet each other, but not in person necessarily. You know, when you started making quilts, what type did you get drawn to? What type of quilts?
Okay, so it's probably not surprising with my book, Paint by Number Quilts, being animal portrait quilts. But the ones that really caught my eye at quilt shows were always the pictorial quilts or the art quilts, and the ones that were of people or animals. And I just wanted to know kind of how to make something that's reasonably realistic, but the fabrics didn't always talk to me, which is why the style I have and the style that I like to... well, I've been told is kind of quite vintagey, is to use blender prints and maybe some of the modern designers and kind of mash everything together to give a sort of somewhere in between a cartoonish look and a realistic look.
Yeah, your book is just super cool. So let's talk about these quilts because they are definitely animals. You can definitely tell what they are. They're not, you know, they're not so artsy that you can't see what they are. But you're like, your deer is fabulous.
Thank you.
The bear is incredible. I love the bear going through the snow. At least I think it's snow. That's
it is.
Yeah, okay. just checking. There's green trees, so you know. But you have snow early in Canada sometimes, I imagine. You still have.
Oh yeah.
You know. So what is the concept behind these?
So I do have quite a few designs. I started off actually making dog portraits. But these quilts were kind of animals that, I've got to be honest, I wanted to pick things that would be quite popular as well as animals that were particular favorites of mine. So the first, the main project on the top is the bear that you've just described. And I actually made him back in 2014 and then remade the patterns again for the book because it was so popular. And he's traveling around with C&T Publishing right now. But the very first project in the book is the raccoon mug rug. And it's just a very small project, which you could actually use as an applique on a quilt or a bag or a cushion or something like that. And then there's the deer, which is a smaller, almost like a mini quilt. He is the stag. It was originally going to be a triptych, so I do actually have patterns in my store and my blog, which have the other two, the doe and the fawn. And then there's the fox, which he doesn't really have so much of a backstory. I just thought it would be cute to make a fox.
Yeah, right. Well, he kind of goes with the other characters.
They kind of foresty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all go together. You got to have a fox. Everybody needs a fox. So tell me, it does look like paint by number, the traditional, you know, I love that you call it that because I think immediately people can envision what's going to happen. You know, you have these shapes and, you know, and you have them numbered, you have everything laid out. Your book is fabulous.
Thank you.
Tell me about picking fabric and color, because that seems to be something that'd be very important to make these come alive.
Yeah, and it can be really quite intimidating for people as well. So two of the main things I wanted to do with the book, well, three really. The first was I wanted to have full-size templates, and then the other two were related to color. So I wanted to have a plan inside that you could actually color along with pencil crayons if you wanted to, but also the color key bleeds off the edge of the page so you can hold it up against your fabric stash or in the quilt store even, and then you can select the fabrics that closely resemble those colors so that you can come up with a combination that should translate well to the actual design, even if you don't have the exact fabrics that I've used.
That's a really, really good idea, because that way you can just, I looked at that when you told me earlier, I thought, oh my gosh, because you can just hold your fabric right against the edge of the book. It's not like hard to manage or anything. You're using a mix of solids and prints, right?
That's right. Yeah, I don't tend to use a lot of multicolored prints. I do tend to use more tone-on-tone blenders, but I do like to get a bit of a variety in there. But I would sort of recommend using solids for areas that your eyes are drawn to, things like eyes and noses and kind of those little details. But otherwise, pretty much anything goes.
What is one of the more unusual fabrics that you can think of, you know, that you used in one of your animal quilts that people go like, I would never think of that?
Oh, maybe like the Tim Holtz range. I think it's called Eclectic Elements, and he's had a couple of ranges out now. Mm-hmm. And they have kind of like newspaper prints and maps and kind of vintagey things. Mm-hmm. So I guess that also adds to the vintage style part of it, which I didn't really intend to begin with, but it kind of does work quite nicely with that. So, yeah, I do have quite a few sort of texty prints and things like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are, they're fun, aren't they, Carrie? They're like unexpected. Mm. When you're looking close, you're like, oh, there's words or there's a map.
Yeah. yeah.
What, we have about 2 minutes. Tell me this type of applique you use to construct them.
Okay, so I am not a big fan of doing a lot of handwork. I like to make things as easy as possible. So my quilts are actually all just glued together. And I use freezer paper to make my templates, and then everything is still turned edge. But I do it with glue, and then I actually don't put a stitch in it at all until the quilting stage. So I will baste it while it's all glued together. I'll make sure my joins are really secure and pin it really well when I baste it. But then I actually don't stitch it at all until I get to the quilting stage.
Oh, are you stitching then the edges of the applique to hold it down, or are you doing something overall?
Yeah, kind of a bit of both. So I make sure that the quilting is really dense and kind of mimic the sort of the fur of the animal or the feather if it's a bird, that kind of thing. But I also make sure I catch all of those edges, and then you can actually wash the quilts afterwards because they've been so heavily quilted.
That is fabulous. I love that part. That is really, really, I've not done anything like that, Carrie. That is so cool. I'm going to have to try it.
Oh, I hope you do.
Yeah. So everybody can visit you at pennydog.com. And
correct.
You
yeah.
have also, you have a YouTube channel, right, with videos?
I do, and I need to make another one very soon because I've kind of let it go since Christmas time. But, yes, I do have, I think if you just search for Penny Dog Patchwork on YouTube, and then I'm also on Instagram as @pennydog.
Fabulous. Thank you, Carrie. This has been great.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
It's 6 issues of American Patchwork and Quilting a year delivered right to your door. Each issue is packed full of quilting patterns, how-to techniques, and tips and tricks from the editors and designers. And right now, we have a special deal for all of our podcast listeners. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/deal to subscribe and enter coupon code PODCAST at checkout to get 60% off your subscription. Find the link in our show notes. You don't want to miss out.
Are you a good starter of projects, but not the best finisher? Have you amassed a large collection of UFOs or unfinished objects? Join our private Facebook group to be supported by a community of quilters all working to finish their projects. Search for the American Patchwork and Quilting UFO Challenge on Facebook to get started.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm Pat Sloan, and I'm weaving a bit of color talk in with all of my guests today. And I am going to be chatting here with Modern Quilting by B, and the B is Barbara Kane. Hi, Barbara. How are you?
I'm well, Pat. How are you?
I'm good. Do you actually go by B? Do like your friends call you B, or is that just for your website?
No, my friends do call me B.
Oh, well, that's good. I forgot to ask you that before.
That's quite all right. I answer to either.
Ah, well, that's good. Now, you've been making, I think you've probably been making all your life, you told me. You've been doing, you know, all different kinds of sewing and other things. When did you actually make your first quilt?
Not exactly sure, but I think it was somewhere around 35 years ago. I remember starting with a little sampler. My mom was a quilter, and I always just watched what she did, and I tried doing it myself.
So you actually wanted to learn then. You were like, oh, I want to make a quilt.
I did indeed, yes.
Yeah. So the fabrics have changed a bit since then.
They have. They certainly have. There's certainly a lot more available now, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I just think back, like, when I first started, it's like, oh, my gosh, the pieces I make now, it'd be so hard to do because you just don't have the same kind of fabric.
Right.
Do you have any of your old fabric left, like, from years ago?
I do. I've got quite a bit. And I actually have a little vintage collection, too, of things from – they probably weren't intended to be quilting fabrics. They were probably fashion fabrics, but from the 60s mm-hmm. and the 70s, I have some pretty cool pop art kind of looking designs that I hoard, don't really make anything with them. I just keep them in my stash.
Yeah, they make you happy. You're happy
they
that you have them.
it's good to have.
So tell me a little bit about what got you into writing about your work and then doing pattern designs. You're also an author. You've done quite a bit.
I have. I can say that there was probably a 25-year period where I was a very busy professional, mm-hmm. and quilting was just a hobby for me. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to be involuntarily retired and found myself missing that really busy pace that I had had with my job. So I decided just to take on a little more than hobby quilting and started mm-hmm. to just branch out and try my hand at a small business.
So what type of patterns? Tell me the type of patterns you like to design right now.
Well, right now, I do a lot of real small-scale paper piece designing. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of designs based on things that I find, found objects, things in nature, vegetables, mushrooms, leaves, acorns, little images that I think are whimsical. I like to work with those quite a bit.
Now, are you putting them into full quilts? Or are they like single, like a pattern pack that would have several little projects in it? What are you producing for them?
I'd say a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Full quilts with a variety of patterns in it, or maybe just some small individual coasters, pot holders, wall mm-hmm. hangings. Kind of stay away from really big projects because I'm not the best at staying interested in things very long. So I do kind of keep things a little small scale.
I love that. That's like half the quilters, you know, Barbara. That's like, oh, it's a big project. Am I done yet? I was excited when I started. That's
the way of the world.
It is. I totally love the cactus project. I've just got my first cactus or succulent or whatever, you know, I haven't quite figured out all the proper terms, but yours is so darling. And
the blocks
can be individual or you have this wonderful layout.
Right. I do make the patterns in little individual sizes. And one of the main reasons for me doing that is because I sell them electronically online and people can download them and print them at home. So I mm-hmm. like to keep things in manageable sizes. But certainly if you want to make a big quilt, you can either enlarge a pattern to a huge size or make several small ones and then sew them together, maybe with some blank squares in between for quilting opportunities, et cetera. But you can really work a lot of different products in when you're making a quilt. You can work with different shapes and sizes and come up with what you like.
So when you're picking fabric, let's talk fabric a little bit. You know, the type of fabric you're picking for your projects. Are you mixing solids and prints?
I do mix solids and prints. I have to say, there's something about solids that I absolutely love. I'm not a huge fan of prints, although I have quite a few. But if I do have a print, normally like a two-color or three-color print. If I mm-hmm. do like a multi-color print or a real busy print, I might save that for the back of the quilt. I mean, I don't necessarily like to incorporate those into my work.
When you have a little bit smaller piece, then those big prints get lost too.
That's true. Absolutely. The scale of them just doesn't work out when you're working with small pieces.
So your cactus one or your succulents is a paper piece. What are what are the things people need to remember about paper piecing that they tend to forget?
Well, here's one that I forget, and I'm sure most everybody does. The pitfall, and that's skimping when you're cutting out your fabric. You know, I always try to be sort of thrifty and not use too much fabric when I'm cutting out a piece, and inevitably, especially when there are angles involved, mm-hmm. always find myself, I flip that fabric over, and darn if it isn't too short, and I've got to pick it out and put in a bigger piece. I do that quite a bit, and I'm sure just about everybody's had that problem.
I have that problem, Barbara. It's terrible. I've just given up. I've just go like, I'm just making a big piece of fabric. I'm going to have waste, and I am not going to worry about it, you know, because I would rather have the waste than have to go pick it out and add something to it.
I agree.
It's just crazy. So your background was interior design. As a person now creating quilt patterns, how do you notice your interior design work playing into what you're designing now?
Well, I'd say it's really twofold. Certainly one is just the technical aspect of it. I draw my patterns on the computer, and I learned to draw on the computer years ago using a CAD computer-aided drafting program. So that has mm-hmm. been really, really convenient for me to have that sort of experience. I use that every day. But from an aesthetic perspective, I have a knowledge of color and value and pattern scale, just basic design principles that would apply to really anything. They can apply to fashion, home decor, floral design for that matter, and also in quilting. So having that knowledge has been really helpful to me.
So, you know, do you still, like, look out to see what's going on in the design world and then create patterns that sort of match what's happening?
Well, somewhat, I would say so, yes. I mean, there's certainly trends in style in design, and I do defer to that. Color, definitely, mm-hmm. Is something that I think is trendy and changes with the time, and I certainly defer to that as well. There's no doubt about it. I can't say I actively seek it, but I mm-hmm. maybe through osmosis I sort of pick up on that.
Right. You can't. It's almost like a second nature. You probably can't even help it. It just happens. You probably see it. And yeah, it's like you've been noticing it all these years. So I also love your airplane and your blimp, your paper pieced patterns. What are some ways to use those?
Well, thank you. I use them personally a couple different ways. I've made some little travel bags with the airplane and the blimp. I thought they
were appropriate
for that. I also have made some patterns where the airplane and the blimp were incorporated into pillow shams for, fun for a child's bedroom or even a teenager's bedroom, I would say. They work out pretty well. Actually, our guild has just made a charity quilt for our Modern Quilt Guild, and we incorporated a blimp into that as well. We did a city scene, sort of a scene of Pittsburgh, which is where I'm from and where our guild is from, and we've got a little blimp in the skyline. So,
that's perfect.
Looks cute. Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to have a look for that one. It's going to hang in QuiltCon?
Yes, it will.
Yeah. Yeah, so they do those, the Modern Quilt Guild does those charity pieces that they then the groups do them, right, and then submit them, and they'll hang in the show.
That's right. Our whole guild got together and sewed little buildings. Tiny piecing is the theme this year, so we did little tiny buildings with little tiny windows, and if you see a big purple blimp, chances are that's our quilt.
Fabulous. Everybody will be looking now. They'll be looking for that one.
Right.
Where do you usually do your writing? Is it mostly on your blog, or do you do more on your Instagram now?
I've moved a little more toward Instagram. It's just, you know, it's perfectly named. It's instant. It's out there. It's very fast. Take a photo, post it. Blogging is a little more time-consuming. Of course, I'm sure you're familiar with that. Mm-hmm. Uploading photos and working with HTML, et cetera, it's a little more cumbersome. So I find Instagram to be so much faster, way, way easier just to get something out there. tend to procrastinate a little bit more with my blog.
Yeah. That's funny because I'm sort of the opposite way. I would rather go write on my website than try to figure out what to put on Instagram. Although I do it, I am out there, but it's a different content. It's a different style of content.
Right.
For both places. You also, I want to be sure to mention that you have a book called Go Big, Go Bold. Tell me what's in that.
Well, that's one of the first things I did after I stopped working. And interestingly enough, when I did work, what I discovered was if I wanted to get a quilting project done, I had to make something with big pieces. If I was going to make a quilt with, you know, little tiny pieces, it just wasn't ever going to get done. I'd lose interest in it before I'd finish it. So quickly learned that if I cut giant triangles or giant squares or what have you and sewed them together, I could get a quilt top done in a weekend as opposed to in a month or a year for that matter if I had a whole bunch of little things that I had to sew together. So that's what that book pretty much addresses. Is you can still make a quilt, still with the design you like, the color you like, and the style that you like, but get it done. Getting a quilt done to me is probably almost the most important part of the quilt. It's no good until it's finished. So you gotta do whatever you have to do to get it done.
That is absolutely true. People will procrastinate or put it off. I've done it on things, and like you're like, why didn't I finish that? But yeah, it doesn't do us any good sitting in a stack somewhere or a bag or a box.
We all have those.
We do. We do. They're called UFOs, right?
Right.
It's like
absolutely.
I know.
So that
was
the premise of the book.
That is really cool because I think people are looking for those ways to create it. Like, and they're impressive. They look really good.
I agree. A lot of impact, high impact.
And I think your design aesthetic really shows with everything you're doing, Barbara. They're fabulous.
Well, thank you.
Well, we are about done here, so I want to tell everybody to visit you at modernquiltingbyb.com, and then they can find you on Instagram.
That's correct, under the same name.
Under the same name. Okay, thanks, Barbara.
Thank you. Have a good day.
We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jody Sanders, Group Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making pillowcases to make a difference. For people who love to sew or quilt, it's so easy to lift spirits and bring smiles to hospitalized kids, homeless families, and others who are in need. Simply join American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine's 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. Make one, two, or more pillowcases and donate them in your local community. You will make a difference with every pillowcase that you donate. Join the movement today. Find complete details, download free patterns, and record your donations online at allpeoplequilt.com/millionpillowcase.
Join the annual American Patchwork and Quilting Quilt Along, along with thousands of other quilters. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/quiltalong to choose your favorite project and get the pattern. Then get sewing. Share photos of your progress on social media using the hashtag APQQuiltalong to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm Pat Sloan, and we are going to take a really nice second half of the show and chat with I am going to chat with Christopher Thompson, and he is a friend of mine that I met several years ago, and because we have a lot of the same things in common as far as who we work with and what we like, our aesthetics are totally different, but we've been friends, and I'm just so excited Christopher is here for the second half. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Pat. How are you?
I'm trying to stay warm, but I understand you may actually be have a deeper freeze in New York City than I have here in Virginia.
Yes, I think the last time I looked, it was -5.
Yeah, that's just crazy. That's just crazy. You can move back to Virginia now. You're a former Virginian. You were born here, right?
I was. I was born in Southwest Virginia.
Yay, I was not born here. But I was not born in New York City either, which is where you are. So we didn't quite switch places. So, you know, I wanted, Christopher, if we, you know, because we can take a little bit more time with two segments, is talk about different inspirations, colors. You know, you've been doing a lot of fabulous work with fabric and showing it. You write primarily on your Instagram.
Yes. Yes. When I first started, I was blogging, mm-hmm. and then I just realized I was saying the same things other people were saying, and Instagram became a place for me to really put all of my work out there and quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what my previous guest, Barbara, said. She goes, oh, it's so much work to write on the blog. I've been writing more on Instagram. It's instant.
Exactly. And, you know, I have had, you know, a few more blog posts go up in the recent, and I do enjoy it a little bit because I can put a lot more photos on there and it's more permanent. Mm-hmm. So I think of it less as a blog and more, I guess, as a diary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I can see that from what you're doing too. You know, I think everybody's approach is so interesting when they write, you know, how they use their writing and their picture taking. You're the most fantastic photographer, Christopher. I mean, your setups, your display of the pieces of your quilts, it gives everybody really big inspiration of how they can use the things in a setting.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. It has definitely been a work in progress over the years. I go back sometimes and look at my earlier Instagram posts and I go, oh, wow, what was I thinking? Some of them are so bad.
Hey, we all have to start somewhere, right? That's like we can all even
yeah.
say that. Yeah, we had to start somewhere. Now, you and I work with a lot of the same companies. We're both Baby Lock ambassadors. We work with, you know, Aurifil Thread. We work with Ulfa. We work with all these different people. So that's how we got to know each other, was actually through Baby Lock, because they have an event. And although we had said hi at the trade show, it wasn't until we were able to go for the designer, the ambassador event, that you and I got to be able to chat.
Yep. Yep.
That's.
I like to tell people that we met online, not necessarily through a dating app, but that we met online.
It's true. It's how I meet half the people I know.
Yeah. And, you know, it's actually great because I think the industry has brought a lot of people together that way. Whether it's at a trade show or, you know, one of our ambassador events. And it gives us a time to connect without being so social on social media. You know, it's easy for us to connect through social media, but when you're face-to-face, it's so different.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you can have this sort of ebb and flow of a conversation and you can jump back into it after you're doing something else. You know, it's lovely. I'm so excited whenever I'm able to do something with other designers like that. So let's talk a bit about creativity first, because living in New York City is that city has a vibe and environment. You also work in a creative industry. How does all of that mesh into what you design?
Oh, man. the city is full of inspiration. I recently did a block with some friends of mine over the summer, and my inspiration was the Chrysler Building. You know, mm-hmm. The Art Deco style of that building just really lent itself to being a quilt block. Mm-hmm. And the colors too. I mean, when you look at, you know, you think of New Yorkers as like the fashion. You know, they're fashionistas, mm-hmm. and you know, Fashion Week happens here, and there are a lot of fashion brands that are based out of New York City. But believe it or not, most New Yorkers are wearing head to toe black. You know, it's easy. And when you're surrounded by all that color, you know, you definitely want to tone yourself down. But yeah, I think the city is so chic and so beautiful and so romantic at times that I draw a lot of my inspiration from that. And color-wise, not so much about the color, because I look at mm-hmm. trends, you know, whether it's in the fashion industry or in the quilting industry in terms of coming up with color. I think it's really the romance of the city. Believe it or not, I mean, I think a lot of people, when they think of New York City, it's like, you know, trash on the street, dirty subways, Times Square, you know, the hustle and bustle. Mm-hmm. But when the city kind of slows down and you're in pockets of neighborhood, there's something mm-hmm. really special about New York City.
Yeah, I've been, I had a chance to stay there for a week once watching a friend's property and taking care of her dogs. And so it was a chance to sort of live there for a week. And even though that's not very long, it was totally different than being there on vacation. So it was, I agree. I mean, it's like, oh, so cool. Very jealous.
Well, I'm coming up on 6 years, and I really, even though I have a degree in theater, mm-hmm. I never wanted to be on Broadway because I knew, you know, I wouldn't make any money from it. And I knew I would have to like really hit the pavement, you know, and go to every audition. And I just felt like myself, I wasn't that kind of person. Mm-hmm. So to look back and go, oh gosh, I've lived here for 6 years and I live three blocks from Times Square. Mm-hmm. I sometimes pinch myself because I know a lot of people that would love to be where I'm at. So I'm very mm-hmm. grateful for it. But it's definitely been an experience, and I would not change it in the world.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that you do, one of your big design pieces as you as a designer is your fabric for Riley Blake. That's a big element. Tell me what's going on with you in that right now, because you have a lot of things happening.
Yeah, I do. It's been so much fun. And I love working with Riley Blake. They're like family to me. And we've had a lot of fun. And I am on my, let's see, fourth, fifth collection, I think. Mm-hmm. We just launched my basic collection called Blossom, which I'm super excited about. It's 40 SKUs. There's a ton of really great colors. There's color on white, so a lot of, you know, low volume. And then I think a lot of people don't notice, but there's even sparkle. There's a gold, a silver, and a rose gold on white, you know, that I haven't really shown a lot of yet. But, yeah, mm-hmm. loving that.
That is and, nice. I don't know why. I like sparkly stuff lately.
Well, it's on trend. It's still, you know, we're seeing still a lot of it in the fashion industry. So it's still very much on trend.
Well, you know, now I have to go find, I have to go get some of this because I've been seeing you showing it, but I haven't had any in my neighborhood here. So I've got to get it in here. So are there prints and this, you have this sort of like speckly one that's like a fabulous basic, but are there actually prints for Blossom as well?
No. So it's all, it's okay. It's the smallest little flower.
Okay.
And the little, it's just a random repeat in the 40 SKUs.
Okay.
And I really wanted to do it because I felt like it was something that wasn't out there in the market. Mm-hmm. And if you've seen my other collections, you know I love florals. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people would assume that I would love florals as much as I do. But I'm very romantic at heart. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big sweetheart, a big teddy bear, so I love florals. Mm-hmm. And I wanted a basic that was just a tiny little floral. And if you have to look really close to see its little petals because, you know, far away, it looks like a polka dot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like a little sprinkle of something.
Yeah. But all of my other lines have had, you know, beautiful florals in them, which I love. I love doing mm-hmm. florals and design.
So let's talk about how to work with solids first, even though I wanted to, you know, just talk about that newest line. But first, let's just talk a little bit up till the break about solids, because you were doing sort of a series working with solids. And I think there's more power to those than the everyday quilter, you know, might think about, because, you know, they're not quite as, for me, it's like they're not, you go and it's okay, it's solid. I can't get as excited about finding a beautiful floral. But there really is
right.
there really is something very nice about working with them. So talk to me about
yeah.
how you've been playing with solids.
Yeah, so we started a series, I don't know, maybe 6-8 months ago called Not mm-hmm. So Basic. It's through Riley Blake. And, right, I love saying Not So Basic.
Right.
Because it has so many different meanings.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really to celebrate their basics. And they have the most beautiful range of solids. Their solids are called confetti cotton. A lot of beautiful colors. Not necessarily as trendy as like a color of the year per se, but they just they always introduce every year a few, and the collection just keeps growing. But I've been using solids for, you know, since I started back quilting 5-6 years ago. And the one thing I love about solids, and they're underrated, is because they add so much contrast and depth to a quilt. You know, depending on the pattern, they can really punch that quilt pattern up. And what I love is taking a solid and mixing it with some print, because it helps to break up your eye when you look at a quilt. And I get that through working in the fashion industry. You know, when we develop a line, you know, in the fashion industry, we have to say to ourselves, okay, there's a couple of prints, there might be a stripe. We're going to need some solids on, you know, on this table or on, you know, mannequin to really help cut those, patterns, those printed patterns. So I think sometimes people don't naturally gravitate toward working with solids, but honestly, it can really help you cut through your quilt design and really help that quilt design sink.
It's sort of like it can make it pop with having the beautiful print, giving it more of a stage, you know, saying, you know, there it's got this really, you know, nice presentation where it's sort of sitting like on top of, you know, like comes forward maybe from the solid.
Yeah, totally. And so I think we think of using, you know, solids as our backgrounds. Well, bring them to the front and let them be your foreground. You know, maybe, you know, switch it up and use your prints as your background and your solids as your foreground in your quilt.
They're also more cost effective because they tend to be a little less expensive than the prints, particularly since they're basics and for most manufacturers.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's easier for you to stock up on them.
Right, right. So you can get,
you know, you get more colors. Because the investment is not as much. Yeah.
So, Christopher, when we come back, I'm going to tell you about my first official quilt and the solid that I used, okay?
Okay.
I don't know that I've ever told this.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
We know our listeners love a good deal. We have a special offer just for our podcast listeners. Get 50% off a downloadable pattern of your choice in our online shop. Visit apqshop.com, add a digital pattern to your cart, and enter coupon code PODCAST at checkout. Then get quilting. Visit our show notes for more details.
We've been doing the American Patchwork and Quilting podcast since 2011. That's a lot of shows. Search for guests, listen to past episodes, and read quotes from the show on our website. You'll even find a special welcome video from our host, Pat Sloan. Visit us at allpeoplequilt.com/podcast.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am talking to Christopher Thompson. So, Christopher, you want to know about my first quilt, my first official quilt? You're supposed to say
in
yes.
Solids? I sure do. Yes. Yes. Tell me. I'm on the edge of my chair.
Yes. So I used a really nice print that I considered nice because I needed something with a lot of personality. So I found this petroglyph print because Southwest stuff was really big when I learned to quilt. And I'm in Virginia, remember? So we had Southwest fabric. So you know it had to be very, you know, big to make it into our quilt shops. And so I had this print and I got some other prints with it. And my beginning first quilting class teacher said, maybe you want to have some solid with that. And I looked at her, I'm like thinking, why in the world would I want to buy a solid fabric? That's just boring. Yeah. I'm like, well, I did. I don't know why I did, because probably from that point forward, I never did, you know, to take any suggestions from anybody on fabric, or but I did, and it I'm sure it helps. It's a beginner quilt, so you know, petroglyph fabric, navy and green, no less. It wasn't Southwest colors, so.
Oh, navy, yes. And green. That kind of reminds me of the 80s. Remember, mallard ducks were a big thing?
Yes.
And everything was like burgundy, navy, hunter green.
Yeah, that was the navy and that green, right? It's sort of like, maybe it was like for the Virginia audience. Maybe they thought, you know, you're not really in the Southwest over there, so maybe you'll like this colorway.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Do you still have the quilt?
Yes. Oh yeah. I put a picture of it, I think, in my beginner book even. It's crazy. So
Oh, that's amazing.
Let's talk about mixing the solids and the prints and bringing that solid in where somebody says to you, that could use some solids. You know, how do you figure out what to use? I mean, how do you approach it? How can people approach it?
Well, I think it's, you know, there's two things. One, if you're doing the whole quilt in solids, that's pretty easy. You know, you can use the range, a rainbow range. You can use the volume range. You can mix and match, you know, using complementary colors. And, you know, I always tell people I'm not a color expert. You know, I don't have a background in color theory. You know, I just use sort of my fashion, you know, experience. As sort of my, you know, starting point. But I think what I tend to do, if I'm using a print in the quilt, I start with that print. Mm-hmm. And usually it's a large scale print, you know, that I'm working with. And sometimes it's, you know, a collection that Riley Blake has sent me, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to put some solids with this. So I usually start with my main print, and I'll just start digging through my stash and pulling out colors that feel good with it. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's a tone from that, you know, print, or something that adds contrast. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I look at a print and I go, you know what, this is going to look so good with navy, or this is going to look so good with black. Mm-hmm. And so I really just start digging in my stash. And a lot of times, to be honest with you, I'll pull maybe 6 to 8 different solids. And some stripes and a blender, you know, like a little polka dot, or you know, even my new one, Blossom. Mm-hmm. And I'll lay it all out, and I might only need 4, you know, fabrics with that project, but laying it out and actually looking at it under, you know, my light or by the window, you might say, oh, you know what, this pink isn't going to work, and you might pull something away. Mm-hmm. So I always start with more than I need and kind of narrow it down.
Do you take the other photos trick that I like too? Do you take photos?
Oh yeah,
too?
That's what I was just going to say. You know, I love to look at it through my camera. You know, I don't have a camera. I use everything I do is on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So I will pull out my iPhone and take a, you know, a bird's eye shot of it and look at it, because you do see some differences when you look at it through when you look at it through a photo or through a lens.
Sometimes that one thing will pop. You know what I also tell Christopher is that people tell people that to remember that if in person you still like it, that if you're not going to be using your quilt only in photography, go with what your gut says about it in person, because your eye can never duplicate that camera.
Yep. Yep. Yes. You're right. You're right.
Yep. Because sometimes people go, but I like it, you know, particularly in class when I'm teaching something. I say, well, then if you like it, stay with it. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so subjective.
Do you ever mock up? Do you ever, like, cut up little bits of things to do like, a test block? Or do you just go for it?
I just go for it. I just go for it. You know, I don't know. I just find it. It's better for me to go for it and then go, that's not quite what it is. And then mm-hmm. I might change it midway. You know, one of the things you know about me, like I don't have any pattern, you know, I've done some magazine patterns and whatnot, mm-hmm. but I just don't have I don't feel like I have the skill set to build a pattern. So a lot of times when I'm making a project, I'm winging it. I'm like, okay, this feels like flying geese. And then I just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I do the same with color. You know, I just go for it.
It's a sort of a form of, it's like maybe like interpretation or play. You know, you just,
yeah.
You know as you build it. So it's not pre-planned then.
Yeah, and I always get in trouble too because then Riley Blake might want it to kit, you know, a project we're working on or whatever, and they'll say, what colors did you use? And I'm like, I don't remember. Let me go back and look.
Where
so
are
naughty.
The scraps that I, so I know what I was doing.
Exactly. Oh, I'm pulling out their color card, and I'm like, is this denim blue? Yeah, this is
right.
Denim blue.
I know. Love those color cards. They save your life. So you also have done a range of notions with Riley Blake. What do you have now? You have like quite a few.
I do. I have some sew-in labels. So
cute.
We have a couple of different versions. We have a black and white version, and then we have a more colorful version that's kid-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been using those, you know, you should label every quilt. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I forget, but we should label every quilt. I also have some washi tape. It's a black and white set of washi tape. It's mm-hmm. a little sewing theme, and then my little French bulldog shows up in there.
Oh.
and then I have a magnetic pin bowl that's black and white.
Mm-hmm.
That says cut, sew, repeat, which is my, you know, tagline whenever I sign my blog post.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have also, which I'm so excited about this, a cutting mat.
They're nice.
It's black and white.
They look really nice. Yeah.
So one side is white and one side is black.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone was super nervous about doing a white cutting mat, but honestly, it's probably the best thing that's happened to me in a long time because it's great for photography,
mm-hmm.
but it's also great when you look at color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gives you a neutral background to lay your color out on, and you see, mm-hmm. you know, the color shows up differently.
That's
in two sizes.
Oh,
yeah.
Two sizes? The mats are two sizes?
Yep. I think there's an 18 by 24 and then a 24 by 36.
Oh, yeah. Got to have the big mat.
Yeah. And that one's been selling out. I've been getting a lot of messages of where can we buy that one. That the bigger mat's been the popular one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to have – I don't even know what people do with little mats. I mean, I have them for a little – but it's like, give me the big mat. How big can you make
exactly.
that mat? I need a big mat.
And one of the things that I did different when designing this with Riley Blake was I had them put quarter-inch marks on it because I'm so weird. I don't cut using my ruler. I cut using the mat.
Mm.
So I wanted to have, you know, quarter-inch marks on there because that's how I, you know, gravitate toward cutting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's super helpful when trimming up, you know, blocks or trimming up your quilt.
So staying on the theme of tools, what is one of your favorite tools that you're using right now for quilt making?
My rotary cutter. We are best friends, man. We have the tightest hold, the tightest relationship possible, that rotary cutter and I.
Okay, so what's your favorite rotary cutter?
So I use I'm probably going to say it wrong, but I guess it's the 45 millimeter. It's mm-hmm. not the Big Daddy one. It's
right.
the 45 millimeter Ulfa. And Pat, I have an insane collection of Ulfa cutters because I use them differently. You know, one I mark that I use for fabric only. So if I'm mm-hmm. cutting fabric, cutting blocks, trimming, et cetera. And then because I've been doing a lot of paper piecing recently, mm-hmm. foundation paper piecing, I have another one that I use specifically for that because just like your scissors, I feel like that blade dulls
mm-hmm.
when cutting paper. And so I have them, you know, both labeled, one for paper, one for fabric, similar to what you would do with your scissors, because we all get mad when our husbands use our fabric scissors, right?
Yes. Nobody's allowed to use the fabric scissors.
Nope.
Never.
And never. And so I have several that I keep around just for those purposes, because I feel like the blades over time will dull with paper mm-hmm. use, so I just keep that for paper.
So,
and then
the,
I'm in
on
love
the
Ulfas, with.
Do you use the double release one where you I don't know how it's not the release, but you pull down one side or the other for the blade?
That's what you're supposed to do with that? I had no idea. I keep them both down. You know what? It's the same with fabric for me. When I go in to pull a fabric rotary cutter out, I just pull whatever I want to use. Okay. So sometimes I use the splash and the pink, or sometimes I use the turquoise. sometimes I use the aerodynamic, not aerodynamic. What's the word? Origami? Not origami. Yeah. What's the word?
Ergonomic.
Ergonomic, that's it.
Yeah.
Origami, the origami one. Yeah, it just depends on my mood for the day.
Yep. You're so funny. Yeah, I was looking at one of your pictures because I saw that. I have all of them, too. So, you know, I have all the rotary
cutters. Well, I love the new ruby one. The ruby one is so beautiful.
Yes, I love it. I love it, love it. The ruby's coming out soon. If you're listening today when the show is airing, they're releasing it, I think, later this week at Road to California. And then it'll be shipping to stores. So it's coming soon.
Yeah, for the 40th anniversary. Yeah.
Yes. It's incredible. The best invention ever, right?
Yes. 40 years ago. Who knew?
Who knew? So we have like about a minute. What is you currently sewing that you can tell us?
Currently sewing that I can tell you. I just finished up a mini quilt with a bunny rabbit in it.
Oh, cute. Cute, cute, cute.
Yeah.
Like quilted and everything?
Yep. Quilted and everything. Going live later today.
Oh, all right. Well, Christopher, this has been so much fun. People can find you at The Tattooed Quilter or just at Instagram, put in your name, Christopher Thompson, so they can find you there.
You got it.
This has been American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm Pat Sloan. Visit all of my amazing guests today. See their websites. Go find them online. Follow them because you will be inspired more than you will ever realize. If you want to follow along with me, visit my neighborhood on Facebook at Quilt Along with Pat Sloan. And next week, we will be back with another show at American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. We'll see you then.
Hi, all, and thanks for listening. If you love the American Patchwork and Quilting podcast, please subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to rate and review the show. It helps other quilters find us. Have a creative week.